Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I value every single person who takes the time to listen to what we put on the airwaves. This week, I'm going to be talking to you about a little bit about my own personal spiritual journey and how messy it has been and how I've had some unexpected challenges, and hopefully in the following episode, how I've kind of worked through them a little bit unexpectedly. So thank you so much again for taking time to listen. About 3 years ago, I was living in Oakland, California. I was living there, I think I'd been living there for at least 5 years. When I first moved there, I moved from Texas to California with my boyfriend at the time, and we ended up living in Santa Cruz, and then we moved to Oakland for work and San Francisco. Long story, but anyway, let's begin in Oakland where I was. At that time, I had been going through some major difficulty in my life. I was having a very difficult time landing a job after I finished my doctorate, which was very difficult to swallow. And the only work I could get was not paying very well. My boyfriend, who I moved for and helped get a job and helped stabilize his life, decided that he needed to find himself in a city that was way above what I was getting paid, and asked me to leave. And it was a very difficult time for multiple reasons. At this time, I was teaching. I was teaching psychic development, and I had been teaching it for a few years. And I really could not have foreseen the things that were about to happen in my life. So I had to find a place to live. And it took a while for me to find one that I could afford with the pay that I had. And I ended up moving in with this very elderly woman, and it was not the best living situation. So suffice to say, it was a very difficult time in my life. And one day, after I had been living there for probably, I'm gonna say at least 6 months, I was walking to work, or I was walking to the BART station in Oakland, as I did for several years. And on that particular day, I was outside, it was daylight, and I always walked past this school on my right, this elementary school. However, it must have been at 6:45 in the morning, I was walking there, and there was a car down the street. It was a black car, and it was driving extremely slowly approaching me. It wasn't anywhere near me, but I looked at it, and something literally stopped my feet. Something stopped me from moving, and I had this gut feeling, and I ignored it. And what is so terrible about this story is that I teach people, or at the time, I was telling people or teaching people to trust their intuition. But I ignored it at that time. It was early in the morning, and I took my usual route. I had my headphones in, like I always did every day, because I like to start my day with music. And I must have gone, I don't know, I must have been walking for 10 minutes, and then I heard these footsteps. They were picking up very fast, and I pulled my headphone out, and I was about to turn around, and then a man grabbed me. He was way taller than me, and he put his hands over my mouth and my eyes. And he grabbed me very, very hard, and I started screaming as much as I could, but it was difficult because his hand was over my mouth, and there was a particular, I feel like it was a painter's glove at the time, and he told me to be quiet, and he dragged me over to the bushes of this house, and he told me not to scream or to look at him, or else he was going to do something to me. And at that time, in my mind, all I could think about was my life was over, that I was going to be raped and murdered or kidnapped. And I was shaking so much. And I also at the same time was thinking, how could nobody see what was happening? I was in the middle of the street, but it was quiet that morning. Anyway, he told me to be quiet, and he told me not to look at him, and he put me on the ground, and he was rifling through my purse and my bag. And I had my phone in my pocket with me at the time. Now, mind you, again, it's daylight. There's a school across the street that had yet to open, but I knew would be opening soon. And he starts looking through my things, which is the least of my concerns, except for my debit card, because, as I told you, I was struggling big time, and things are falling apart left and right. So my heart is beating, and, you know, it's kind of funny because I always tell people when you're in a situation to call on Archangel Michael for help, which I had, you know, at the time I was accustomed to it. But that was the furthest thing from my mind. The only thing I could think of was, I'm going to die today. And I'm going to be murdered and nobody's going to find me. And I didn't get to say my goodbyes to anybody. And my heart must have been racing so much in my chest as he was looking through my things, because I didn't know what he was going to do next. And I waited and I waited, and then there was a noise around us. It must have been a car or someone, but he dropped whatever he was holding, and I heard footsteps. So I never looked at the man, but I literally just took off running in the other direction. I didn't know if he was going to be behind me. I didn't know if he was going to shoot me. I didn't know if somebody was going to grab me in a car. I had no idea, but I struggled to breathe, but I ran so fast until I ran into someone, a guy with a dog. And I could barely catch my breath, but I asked him to stand with me as I called my bank. I didn't call the police first. I called my bank because I knew that I only had a certain amount of money, and they had my wallet, and I had no one in my life to help me. And I knew that if that was gone, that was it. So I called the bank, and they froze my cards, and they made sure that my money was safe. And then the guy that I was with, I told him what had just happened, and I was calling the police at the time. And he asked me if I wanted to go back to his apartment to wait it out. And I was like, absolutely not. You know, I don't know. Anything could happen now. And then I waited till the police came and gave them the story. And I didn't have keys to get back in the house. I had my phone on me, thank God. And I decided I would just go to work, because what else was I going to do? And I still had whatever little money I had, but I didn't have access to it. One of my friends at work, or a coworker, was nice enough to give me cash to live off of until I could get a new card and access my bank, because it was in a different state. Throughout that time, I didn't think things could get worse in my life, but the universe has a way of surprising you. I had to get new keys fashioned for my car, which was a task within itself, long story. I had to get this old woman I was living with to help, to change the locks, to get me a new key, which also, because she was super elderly, was very difficult for all of that to happen. And I had to try to work through what had happened. I had anger with myself for not trusting the feeling that I had, that my feet were frozen and I should have trusted. There are many days I've reviewed that. Why didn't I trust at that moment? My own intuition, what I had been teaching. Very difficult to reckon with. But on top of this all, I had people in my life, in my community, who I trusted and practiced with quite a bit, and I called for help. And my closest friend at the time couldn't be bothered to come pick me up. This is why I went to work, actually. Couldn't be bothered to pick me up because she had an eyelash appointment. I will never forget that till the day I die. The one friend I had done everything for, that I'd helped through a divorce, helped to watch her kids, helped write her letters to her lawyer, couldn't be bothered to come pick me up. I learned a lot that day. I learned a lot about myself, about those I had surrounded myself with, how much I was willing to give and what I was willing to settle for, and my desire to really live in this world. It was a very difficult time in my life. And as I said, I didn't know things could get worse, but they did, somehow. After this happened, I was out and about. It must have been a few weeks later at the BART station, and when I say a few weeks, most likely two, because I remember it being right after. I was at the BART station after work, and I was there with, you know, people, and there were cops there, and we're all waiting for the train to come, and then we heard gunshots above us, or it was the floor above, and, you know, naturally you duck. I don't know why we do that, but we do, and I ducked, and I was standing right next to the police at the time, and my heart just sank. And it was so stressful. It was as if things were just gonna keep falling apart in my life. I was gonna be put in really bad situations over and over and over. After that, about, I'm going to say 3 to 4 weeks later, where I was living, because I told you all I lived with this elderly lady. After that, the lady that I lived with died unexpectedly. And I had to help with packing things. But not only that, I was having these horrible nightmares about her after she'd passed. And I was having these horrible psychic attack episodes at the time too. It was really terrible. And the lady that passed was visiting me in my dreams nonstop. Even when I was in the shower, I could hear her speaking. And I believe she was lost. So I tried to cross her over. It was a very, very difficult time, and I have held a lot of anger about that time in my life because I blamed myself for things that had happened, and I couldn't understand why God, or whatever you call it, was putting me through these things left and right, left and right, left and right. It was as if I couldn't even take a breath, and it was such an unusual time. And after the episode happened with the guy that damn near kidnapped me, my good friend, my only, now I know, good friend, had a dream the next night because she was the only one, besides the other friend who had her lash appointment and couldn't be bothered, she was the only one who was really there and was out of town and sent her husband to come get me. But at the time, I had just decided I would go to work because I wasn't thinking straight, and I don't know, I was frightened. Anyway, she had had a dream, and it was a very profound dream, and she sent me a text message that next morning about this dream she had about me, and in the dream, she was at the psychic fair, and she walked up to a table to get a reading, but it turned out to be my spirit guide, not hers, and my spirit guide had a message for me, and he gave it to her. It was very long and very specific, things she could not have known about me or even my family, that he wanted me to be very fully aware of. And one of the messages was about me being protected and that I would be protected moving forward, amongst many other things. It was very profound. I've never forgotten it because obviously this stuff lingers for life. And she shared it with me, and one of the things he had asked me to do, I was very angry about, and I could never understand why, and I've never asked him. Even today, I don't ask. I figure this is a lesson, not just for me, but for the other people involved. He wanted me to share what had happened with me to my family, and he knew, because he told her, that I wouldn't do it. There would be no reason to tell them. I don't come from a very close family, and I'm not one to seek out attention or sympathy. And he insisted, though. He insisted very stringently in her dream that I do this. So I reluctantly did what he had asked, because I usually do. I may not have the whole, you know, I may not understand the whole purpose to it, but usually I try to come through. And I did what he asked. I shared with my family. And just as I had suspected, you know, there wasn't, nothing really came from that. There was no really, are you okay? There was no, what you would expect, I'll put it that way. And I always wondered why he wanted me to share it with them. It was too much to relive. I was having a difficult time in public. I was paranoid a lot about somebody coming up behind me. I was always looking over my shoulders. I was so shaky and so distraught about everything that was going on in my life nonstop. I was kind of mad at him for having me disclose the story. Anyway, let's continue. This is a lot to tell you all, but it has been on my mind. And, you know, I wanted to initially tell you about learning to trust your intuition. And this was a very difficult lesson for me about not just trusting your intuition. Obviously, there's more here, but about how spirit makes major changes in your life to bring you a better life. When I started processing, kind of, the things that had been happening nonstop, my guide had asked me a series of questions about, or let's say, made a series of statements is a better way of putting it, about how I had been living my life and, you know, how certain things needed to die or leave my life so that I could be quote unquote reborn or to have new experiences. And the things that had left my life were burdens that I perhaps didn't see that way. And moving on from an ex-boyfriend who I was taking care of nonstop was one of them. I remember my guide saying he's draining my life force and ask why you would give up everything for one person but do nothing for yourself. The changes were difficult. The changes were definitely tests of faith that I clearly did not have when I had nobody to help or rely on or to speak to. And as I do in this life, I put my head down and I do the work, but it brought me to a very low point. And as I said to you all, I was teaching. I was teaching people about God. I was teaching people about your intuition, psychic development, all of these things. I had been for a while, and it really tested my faith in God, my belief in what I had been teaching and what I really believed. And I will say the foundations were definitely cracked, and I carried a lot of anger about myself and this work and what I had believed at the time. And what I could not have seen was the life that I was heading towards, and that certain things needed to happen, even though I think I struggled with what did happen and how it happened. But there were lessons about who I am and what I believe and what I stand for and how I let people treat me and many other things in this life. And they were difficult. But as my guide said, certain things needed to leave because they were weighing me down. As he put it, cancer in my life, the cancers, multiple, needed to be cut out. I needed to see things as they really were, not as I perceived them to be at the time or for a while. They were such difficult lessons in my life. And I cannot say that I have healed from everything. Of course not. I'm human. I have to work through it like you. There's no magic pill. Despite what people tell you, they may give you some sort of, what's the word here? They may do a quantum healing session with you or whatever it's called, right? And then all of a sudden you're healed, but that's not true in life. We work through our pain. We work through the trauma. We work through loss and other events in life, and it takes time, and that is the gift of time for the most part. But what I could not see was that, and I hate to use this phrase because I don't like it, but definitely I would say God, all that is, whatever we call it today, Source, broke me down to reshape me in a way. And that was a difficult process, and it is ongoing. All of this to tell you is that when you take this path, it can be very unexpected. Things can be shaken. It reminds me of, as I'm talking, I see the Tower card in tarot. It was like that. I could not have foreseen a quarter of the things that were going to happen to me. I was shocked. I was hurt and I was disappointed and I was angry. But it taught me a lot about myself. In the community, you hear a lot about shadow work and what that is, but you can volunteer to sit down and look at yourself, or God or Source is going to show you, to help you to see the truth about you and give you that knowledge, but also to really awaken who you really are and not what you think you are. The spiritual journey is very messy. It's very difficult. And I would never pretend that it is easy. Connecting with your spiritual team is amazing. It's something I value very deeply in my life, but we still are having a human experience down here. And it can be very difficult because unexpected things do happen. And we don't always have the control that we like to believe that we have. There was a lot of insight gained during these past 5 to 7 years, which has been very, very overwhelming and disheartening, but also I've learned so much profoundly in my life. I was speaking with someone a little while ago about, I guess you could say, the journey of life or the evolution of the soul. And what I don't hear a lot of people talking about are really the actual difficulties that we go through, the obstacles, the challenges, and how we overcome them, like really overcome them. Because as I mentioned earlier, it's not an overnight thing. There's no crystal that can be given to you to dissolve the trauma that you've gone through, or there's no, I guess I can't find the right words here, but your life is your responsibility and things happen. And the hope is that while you're gaining new insights, while you're learning more and you're opening your mind to new information, new belief systems, other wisdom traditions, that you can incorporate that into your life and apply it and then embody it. And that becomes your perspective in life. It shapes your worldview, thus it shapes your experience in the world. But I don't hear many people in this community talk about the challenges that bring you to really changing yourself inwardly, which is the real evolution of the soul, and which is the real spiritual journey. Many people have this misconception that once you develop your spiritual gifts, that all of a sudden everything is revealed to you. Somehow you're immune from the issues of the world, that the challenges, you know, will somehow not come your way, and that all you have to do is manifest your way out of it. That is far from true. Once you've opened yourself to, or your heart to, the spirit world, once you've opened yourself to new beliefs and kind of expanded your consciousness, and once you embark on this path through conscious effort, there are many challenges that come your way that force you to really know yourself. And most of the time, we learn through very difficult situations, which force many of us to our knees. And it's at that point where we ask to see things differently. We ask for help, and sometimes we beg for it. And again, through these situations, our beliefs and our, at least the beliefs that we're holding on to, and our true nature is really revealed. And this happens all throughout life, as again, the journey of life is the spiritual journey. And we are all pretty aware that it can be very messy. But the end goal is to confront our existing beliefs. Where do they come from? Why do we have them? What chronic negative, limiting, disempowering beliefs that we, constantly hold in our consciousness. But also it is to, know thyself. And we do that through these difficult situations. We learn, we grow, and we expand. And this, process is very cyclical in nature all throughout the duration of your life. I'm sure you're wondering how we heal from really challenging situations. And as you are aware, and I'm aware, you can go to many healers, right? But most of us, I think we're pretty aware that you are responsible really for healing yourself. And yes, we have tools at our disposal, and yes, our guides and the angels and everybody is willing to help. But at the end of the day, we have to be able to love ourselves enough to forgive ourselves and to accept things that have happened and to accept the things that, of course, we cannot change. So how do we heal from really challenging situations? Well, that will come in the next episode. I'll share with you a little bit more about my story and kind of some of the work I did to forgive some of the situations that have happened and accept it as well. And what's important is to see things differently. So thank you for listening to a part of my story, and I hope you have a great weekend.